Well, that song never gets old, does it? Amen. I'm glad that you're here tonight. And while you're opening your Bible to Matthew chapter 14, we're going to deal with a very, very familiar passage of Scripture. Many of you probably already are aware and know that this is when Peter walked on the water. And we're going to deal with it in just a moment. But again, Brother David, thank you again for the invitation. It's so good to be here. It's an honor. It's a privilege. And also, it's good to have a few of our Calvary people. I guess they just say glutton for punishment. But it's good that they made the trip down here tonight. And I hope, again, that the Lord speaks. That's our desire. Every time we stand to preach the Word of God, we want Him to speak and Him to just give you a word that you might be able to grow thereby. But before we get into this passage tonight, I know that some of you probably know somebody in your life who feels like quitting. Perhaps you know somebody that has quit, that has thrown in the white towel. I know that there is a lot of folks that have quit on their marriages. A lot of folks have quit on church. A lot of folks have quit on God. And you might know somebody like that. And if you do, I'm going to ask you to do two things. First of all, pray for them, lift them up to the Lord, and also try to have them here tomorrow night. Lord willing, if He continues to lead in a passage of Scripture that we'll deal with, that we should never, ever, ever give up and quit on the Lord. So you pray for tomorrow night. But let's look at this text in Matthew chapter 14. And I'm going to begin reading in verse number 22 and read through about verse number 32 or 33, something along those lines. And many of you, again, are familiar with this passage of Scripture. And notice what Matthew writes. In verse 22, he says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, Jesus went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary." It means it was blowing very, very much. "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, and they said, 'It is a spirit,' and they cried out for fear. But straightway," or immediately, "Jesus spake unto them and said, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it be thou, if it's really you, bid me to come unto thee.'" And notice what he said, "on the water." And that's very important. "And Jesus said, 'Come.' And when Peter was down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." And then in verse 30 it says, "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, 'O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt?' And when they," talking about Peter and Jesus, "were come into the ship, the wind ceased." Tonight, I want to talk to you for just a few moments about praying. Because if you'll notice in our text tonight that two men prayed. First of all, the Bible says that Jesus prayed. He sent the multitudes away. We understand that Jesus had a lot of folks that were continually wanting his attention. And the Bible says that Jesus went apart. First of all, he sent his disciples on to the other side. I think that's important as well, that Jesus is the one that sent them on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus is the one that knew that a storm was going to come. Jesus is the one that told them to go to the other side. But then the Bible says that while the disciples were on that ship, that immediately he went apart and he began to pray. And I believe that Jesus prayed, first of all, to commune with the Father. I believe that all of us should have a time where we talk to the Father. And then also at the same time, I believe Jesus was setting an example that you and I, we should never get too busy, that we're too busy to pray. Tonight, if you're too busy and you don't have enough time to adequately pray, and you may ask me tonight and say, well, preacher, how much should I pray? I don't know. How long should I pray? I don't know. When should I pray? I don't know. But I do know this, that every single person here tonight, that you should have a time, you should have a place, you should have a plan that you pray unto the Lord. And Jesus, when he prayed, he didn't pray out of anxiety. He didn't pray rushed. He did not come to the point where he was all mixed up, needing direction. Jesus prayed because prayer is the right thing to do. But then we see somebody else pray in this passage of Scripture. Not only did Jesus pray, but Peter prayed as well. Now, when you began to look, notice if you would in verse number 30, because that is the whole context of mostly what we're going to look at tonight. But the Bible says when the wind was boisterous, it was blowing very hard. And notice these next three words. He was afraid. Can I ask you a question tonight? Have you ever been afraid? I'm not talking about a fear of, you know, where somebody scares you, or a fear when, you know, something on TV happens and it jolts you. But I'm talking about an event in your life. Perhaps it's a physical event. Perhaps it's a marital issue. Perhaps it's a financial issue. And you find yourself in a state of fear. You find yourself in a state of being afraid, because a lot of times when we're afraid, we try to hide it. We try to conceal it. A lot of times we'll come to church and we'll begin to put on our happy face or our courageous face, but inside we're really very afraid. Inside we're very fearful because of something that is going on in our life. And the Bible says that Peter was very, very afraid because he saw what was going on around him. And so tonight I want to pose a question to you. Let's just say tonight that you only had one prayer. Well, what would that prayer be tonight? Because I know a lot of times that we pray and we ask God for so much. I don't know, but I know in my life, sometimes I'll give God a laundry list of what I want. I'll give God a laundry list of what I desire. I'll give God a list of what I want him to do in my life. But what if tonight only had one? You see, Peter, in this passage of Scripture, he was not talking a lengthy prayer. Peter was not trying to impress his buddies on the boat. Peter was not trying to see how much he could say. And I promise you this, Peter was not praying to the Lord in the King James language. Peter was very, very afraid. And Peter knew that there's only one thing that I can pray. And I began to think about people in the Bible. When you think about this lady by the name of Hannah that's found in the book of Samuel. The Bible says that Hannah was barren. She could not conceive children. And you remember that her husband, that he had another wife who could bear children. And Hannah felt that she was being neglected. And each and every year they would go up to the temple. And you remember there was a priest there by the name of Eli. But you remember, what did Hannah pray? Hannah began to pray to the Lord and said, Lord, I wish that you would open my womb. I wish that you would take me from being barren that I might be fruitful. And you remember that Eli thought that she was drunken, that Eli thought that she was saying nonsense. But in reality, Hannah was desperately pouring her heart out to the Lord. She was broken. She was fearful. She was full of anxiety. Why? Because her husband, she felt, looked on hers lower than the other. Why? Because she could not have a child. I think about a man by the name of David. David was a man after God's own heart. The Bible says that David was the second king of Israel. He was one of the greatest kings that Israel ever had. But yet you remember that David committed that ungodly sin with Bathsheba when he looked on Bathsheba and he had an adulterous affair with Bathsheba. And remember that Bathsheba conceived a son. And you remember the Bible says that Nathan the prophet came and knocked on the chamber door of David. And you remember the little parable that he gave about the sheep. And you remember what Nathan did? Nathan looked at David and said, "You're the man. You're the man that's guilty before God." And remember what Nathan was told David. He said, "The sword will not depart from thine house, and the child that Bathsheba now has, it will die." So what did David do? David didn't go rehearse a prayer, and David again was not trying to impress God. But all David did would go in sackcloth and ashes, and he began to pour his heart out to the Lord. He began to lift his voice up and wept before God, praying for that child, praying that perhaps God would have mercy and grace and not judgment on that child, and that that child would eventually come forth from that sickness. But you remember that the child died. And what did David do? David said, "There's no sense in praying any longer." So David got up, took a shower, washed up, and he went and he ate. But he was a man that at the moment that had a one-track mind when it came to praying. I'm praying for that child. Think of about a man by the name of Hezekiah. You remember that Hezekiah in the book of Isaiah, that the Bible says that Isaiah the prophet came and again knocked on his chamber door and told Hezekiah, "You're set your house in order for what's going to happen. You're about to die." Wouldn't it be, that'd be a tragic event to hear that from a doctor, to hear that from a person that says, "I just got something to tell you that God said to set your house in order, get your affairs in order, get your bills paid, get your will up to date, because you're going to die." So what did Hezekiah do? The Bible says that he went into his bedchambers and he laid upon his bed, turned his face toward the wall, and he began to pray to the Lord. He began to lift his voice up to God. "God, would you spare me?" And the Bible says that before Isaiah could get out of the courtyard, that God spoke to him and said, "Turn around and go tell Hezekiah that I've heard his prayer." And the Bible says that Hezekiah wept bitterly. It was a prayer that was soaked in, with tears. It was a prayer that was so heartfelt that it literally touched the heart of God. And God told Isaiah that, "Isaiah, go tell him that I'm going to spare him. He's going to live 15 years. And my friend, it doesn't matter if he'd have got shot, a bomb would have fell. He was going to live 15 years because God said that he would live." When you think about a prayer, think about that thief on the cross that was crucified right before beside Jesus Christ. You remember that there were two thieves, one on the right, one on the left. At first, both of them were mocking Jesus. Both of them were blaspheming Jesus. And then all of a sudden, here, both of them were going to die this day. Their life was about to be gone. One of them kept mocking, but the other said, "Lord, whenever thou enterest into thy kingdom, remember me." And Jesus, what did he say? He said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." So there's a lot of folks in the Bible that they were up against the wall. They were at a point where they didn't know what the answers were. So what did they do? They began to pray. And tonight I want to look at three things in this passage that I believe that, because I believe somebody's here. It might just be one person tonight that God has sent us down here to talk to. And God wants you to know that you might think that it's at the end. God wants you to know that he's going to hear your prayer. And there's two, three things. First of all, and again, going into verse number 30, what did Peter say? Lord, save me. And the first thing that you need to draw your attention to is the direction of this prayer. I began to look at this passage, and you probably read it as much as I have. But did you notice that when Peter began to sink, that he didn't call on his brother? Now, you do know his brother was, I don't know how far the boat was away from Peter, but Peter didn't begin to say, Andrew, will you come save me? Andrew, will you throw out a lifeline to me? Andrew, will you row the boat just a little bit closer? He didn't call on his business partners, James and John, also disciples of the Lord. They were in the boat as well, but again, he didn't direct his prayer toward them. The Bible says that all of a sudden he said, Lord, save me. And I really believe that Jesus teaches us something when the disciples ask him early in ministry. They said, Lord, will you teach us how to pray? And you remember how Jesus answered that question? He didn't say, well, make sure you have long enough words. In fact, he warned them, don't be like the Pharisees, because they think that they're going to be known by how many words that they use. But here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, pray, our Father who art in heaven. You see, tonight, if you'll notice, when Peter said, Lord, that's a very important word. Because, see, that's a demonstration of the sovereignty of Almighty God. Because I can promise you this, whenever we begin to pray, and whenever we really are serious about the need in our life, we're going to call upon the only one that can help us. Sort of reminds me of David in Psalm 23 when it said, the Lord is my shepherd. My friend, I got good news for you. You see, we live in a crazy world, and I think you would agree with that. We live in a world that is literally, to me, that is going more and more away from God as the days pass. We live in a land that does not love God. Unfortunately, as we preached this morning, we're living in a time when churches have forsaken the Lord. But I've got good news for you tonight, that God is still on the throne, that God is still in charge, and God is still a sovereign God. It is, you look at this story, and again, I'm not going to take all the time tonight to recap it, but remember who sent them onto the Sea of Galilee. The Bible says that Jesus sent them there. That storm did not surprise Christ at all. That storm did not all of a sudden come out with the acknowledgement of God. We must understand today that we serve a sovereign God who is in control. And I do not believe that anything happens in my life that God does not initiate or God does not allow. But I can promise you this, God knows everything that comes into my life. He knows everything that comes into your life. And he knows what's going to happen tomorrow in your life. He knows tomorrow if you get that bad news, God already knows what is going to happen. And so we understand that Peter said, Lord. And I believe today, again, it shows a cry unto the one that could deliver him. But I want you to notice the petition in this prayer. Not only do we see the direction of the Lord, but also the Bible uses the word save. Now, that's an interesting word because a lot of times we use it to identify. We'll go up and talk to somebody and we'll say, have you been saved? And our reality, or our question is, was there ever a time in your life where you trusted Jesus to be your Savior and to be your Lord? And we'll say that we are saved. We use the word saved and we use the word lost. But in this reality, it's not talking about being saved as far as eternity is concerned. I dare say that most here, if I would say, all right, who in this building is saved? Who knows the Lord Jesus Christ called upon him, know that they're going to heaven when they die? Probably everybody in this building would raise their hand. That there was a time in your life where your eternity has been settled. Why? Because you have trusted. You are saved tonight. But see, Peter, or Matthew, is using this word in the light of Peter, not in eternity, but from a situation that was beyond his control. It was a circumstance that Peter did not have the answer to. And I believe tonight that there's some in here, you know as well as I do, that there are things that have come into your life and you have tried your best to work them out. You have tried to solve them. You tried to find the answers. And do you ever feel like you're on a treadmill and you're running but you're not getting anywhere? Have you ever felt like the more energy and the more tired that I get, it just seems like the more and more I get in a rut? Sort of like running in quicksand. The more you try to fight it, the quicker you're going to sink. And you see tonight, every single one of us, if we're honest, there's some things in our life that if we could just say, Lord, will you save me? Again, not salvation into. Now, if you need that, you need to pray that prayer. But I'm talking about a circumstance. I'm talking about a situation that you realize is out of your control. You realize that you've tried and you tried, but there are no answers. I believe that Peter got to the point that he was literally desperate. Can I ask you a question this evening? When's the last time you've been desperate before God? I'm talking about, Lord, I'm not coming with any strings attached. Lord, I'm coming to you and I'm asking you that I'm in this situation again. It might be the news of health. It might be the dysfunction of a home. There's some of you tonight that might be seated in this building that, you know, right now on the outside, everybody thinks it's okay. But there's some of you that might have a wayward son out in the field or out in the world. Some of you might have a financial difficulty that you've been trying to solve on your own. It could be a myriad of things in your life. But see, the question of the hour, because see, Peter, now understand, you cannot take this away from Peter. He walked on the water. The Bible says that he asked Jesus, if it's you, Lord, let me come out there. And all of a sudden, Peter began to walk on the water. Why did he sink? Did the water change? Did the water go from being hard to soft? No, you know what changed? His focus. You see, when he was on that boat and he called out to God, Lord, I'm trusting you. I can't walk on that water by myself. I can't get out of this boat without sinking. Understand, Peter was an experienced fisherman. Peter knew what the water would do. He was not crazy thinking, well, I think something's happened to the water, so I'm going to jump out and I'll be okay. No, Peter understood without divine intervention, without something supernatural, without somebody interceding and doing something, Peter knew he couldn't walk on that water. And then all of a sudden, Peter got out of the boat and he began to walk. And man, I believe, Brother David, I believe he was high stepping. I believe that he was turning around looking at them guys saying, listen, this is a great experience. Now, listen, before you get on Peter, none of them guys got out of the boat. None of them guys was willing to come out. You know, a lot of times we can play Monday morning quarterback. A lot of times we can step back and say, boy, if they'd have done something different, they sure wouldn't be in this mess. Somebody may have told you that before. Perhaps when he began to sink, old John's probably may have hollered out from the boat, I told you you couldn't do it. And Peter began to sink. And see, the Bible says the reason that he began to sink because he began to look at his surroundings. All of a sudden, perhaps he didn't feel the wind blowing, but all of a sudden he felt that wind against his back and against his face. Perhaps he wasn't paying attention to the thunder that was crashing all around, but suddenly when he got his eyes off of Jesus, he began to hear the thunder. He began to see the lightning. And he saw all of that. And he got his eyes off the one that was in control. And you see, tonight, I just want to talk to you for a moment. If we're not careful, we can allow life to misalign our focus. I'll be honest before the Lord, before you. I believe the last few years, even with this pandemic and all that's going on, a lot of folks are getting their eyes off of the Lord. They're getting their eyes on the circumstance. I know we're not living in a great, I don't say not say a great land, but I'm saying we're living in a difficult days. But I'll be honest, there's a lot of folks that have their eyes more on the White House than they do God. And tonight, Peter said, Lord, deliver me. That's what that word say means, literally deliver me. I can't get out of this mess. I'm at a point of desperation. I'm at a point that I cannot get past where I am. I talked to you a little bit this morning about, you know, folks that are addicted to drugs and the like. Have you ever tried, or have you ever had the experience of dealing with somebody who is addicted to something? I mean, I could add a laundry list. It's not just drugs. It's not just alcohol, pornography. There's folks, and maybe not in this crew, but there are folks that are addicted to social media. They're addicted to all sorts of things. But have you ever talked to somebody who was addicted, but they hadn't come to the end of themselves yet? It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter how much you push them. They're not ready. In other words, they're to the point where I still have this under control. I still have this grip. I still know what I'm doing. I'm still okay. I don't need God quite yet. I don't need you quite yet. You know, I'm all right. But you see, that's not where Peter was. Peter was at a point that he was literally desperate because Peter knew the outcome of him sinking. Because that word afraid, it's a deep word. Peter was probably afraid. He was about to die. He was about to go under. The waves were crashing. But yet he said, Lord, save me. That's the petition of prayer. But let's close tonight with this last thing, and that is the personal element of praying. The confidence that Peter had. Because notice in the text, and the last thing when he prayed, Lord, save who? Me. Lord, I'm not praying for Andrew right now. I'm not praying for James and John and Matthew, Thaddeus, or any of the other ones. Lord, I'm praying for me. Lord, I want you to hear me. And you know, sometimes in our life, and I know folks will come up and say, you know, will you pray for me? I'm going through this, I'm going through that, and will you pray? And we should intercede. I think intercession is part of our prayer life. I think that we should talk to the Lord on behalf of others. I hope as a church here at Lowry's First that you pray one for another. But you see, Peter wasn't interceding right now. Peter wasn't in this group prayer. Peter was saying, Lord, right now I'm praying for... It was personal in his life. Because there are some times, and I believe that's why God said this, through our Savior said it, in the Gospel of Matthew when he talked about praying. It's amazing in the Sermon on the Mount how much about prayer that he discusses. In the Sermon on the Mount is where you find the Lord's Prayer, or the disciples' prayer, really. Our Father which art in heaven. It's there in that part, in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus said, ask, seek, and knock. Ask, it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. But you know what else Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount when he talks about praying? And again, I alluded to this earlier when he talked about the Pharisees. He said, don't be like the Pharisees, because you know what the Pharisees would do? The Pharisees loved to be heard for their much speaking. Whenever they would fast, they would paint their face that when somebody walked up to them and say, ha-ha, I know what you're doing, you're fasting. It was a public display. Everyone needs to see it. And Jesus said when they prayed long prayers. That they prayed that they might be heard for their much speaking. But have you ever thought what Jesus said to you and to me in that text? He said, but guys, when you pray, go into your closet. And he said, go into your closet and pray, because your Father who sees in secret shall reward thee openly. Are you still here? I tell our people, y'all still here? Come on, give me something. Because it's getting dark. I don't want you to fall asleep on me. But let me leave you with these two thoughts. When you think, and I really believe in just a moment, you're going to be led to come down to this altar and say, Lord, this is what I need to pray about. It might be a lost family member. Might be a wayward husband. A wayward grandchild. It might be a sickness. But here's two things to take with you. Number one, remember the promises of God. This is why I say this. I want you to, hopefully you haven't closed your Bible yet. I want you to back up to the very first verse that we read, verse number 22. Notice what the Bible says, and straightway, that means immediately, Jesus constrained. Now that's a very important word, because the disciples were not doing what they were about to do on their own accord. Jesus instructed them. Jesus sent them. And that word constrain carries the idea that there's no other choice. This is what you need to do. But here, notice what Jesus constrained them. Now stay with me for a moment. Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship that he knew was headed for a storm. And notice what he said, and go before him on to the other side. That was what God constrained them. Now, it probably hadn't hit you yet. But you know what Jesus told them? You're going to the other side. He didn't tell them a storm's coming, but he did tell them this. Guys, I want you to go to the other side. And that means a lot, because Jesus was the one who sent the storm, but Jesus was the one who calmed the storm, because Jesus knew they were going to the other side. Now, my friend, listen to me tonight. You're going to lay in bed at night tonight, and that's going to hit you. Because you see, Jesus knows the end better than we know the beginning. And Jesus said, guys, you're going over there, and see, all of a sudden, that would calm the fear of even Peter. I don't know if the other guys got afraid. The Bible didn't say they got afraid, because they thought it was some ghost. Now remember, that fourth watch. Brother Jimmy, I know you fish a lot, but you know, I've been out there fishing on a lake, and man, you get out there at 3 or 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning, you start seeing things. And they saw this ghost-like figure, and all of a sudden they become afraid, they become hysterical, and then Peter, you know, said, Lord, if it's you, let me come out there. But Jesus has already said, I know the outcome. And you know, tonight, you know the good news of this? Is Jesus knows where you are, he knows what you're going through, and he knows the consummation of that trial or that circumstance that you're in right now, and you're saying, I don't know the answer. I don't know what's going to work out, how it's going to come to an end. But always remember the promises of God. God loves you. I told you that this morning. You know what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews? I'll never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. My friend, when you have God, you're never alone. Oh yeah, your friends might forsake you. Might be like these old disciples on the boat. When we get to heaven, I think we're really not going to ask questions because we're going to know everything. But wouldn't you like to ask the other disciples, what did you think when Peter began to sink? They probably said, I thought it was a nut. I thought it was crazy going out there to begin with. But always remember the promises of God. But also take this with you. Allow for the provision of God. You say, I can only testify to one person, and that's me. You know what I do sometimes, and you do the same thing over the course of our lives, that sometimes I pray and I try to manipulate God to do what I want God to do. Now, I know that we won't admit that a lot of times, but we do. See, we want God, this is what I want you to do, and Lord, this is how I want you to do it. But you see, God provided for Peter. Because the Bible said, now notice something, now get this, and then we're done, I promise. That the storm didn't cease till when? Till they got back on the boat. Now let's notice this. Let's read this text. I want you to see this. We got a little bit of time. There's no clock in here. I don't even know what time you got. But notice verse 32. And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Now, a hypothetical question. I wonder how far they were from the boat. Let's just say, for just argument's sake, let's say they were 40 feet from the boat. That Peter walked. Now get this, he walked to Jesus about 40 feet. And then all of a sudden he began to sink. Now the boat was still 40 feet from him. But the wind didn't stop till they got back on the boat. So when they walked that 40 feet from where Peter began to sink to the boat, what did they walk through? They walked through the storm. They walked through the storm. But see, Peter didn't walk through that storm alone. And the Bible says, when they got to the ship, all of a sudden, the waves stopped. The wind ceased. The lightning quit. The thunder stopped sounding. When they got to the boat. My friend, understand tonight before you leave here that when you pray, God may not remove that storm. He may not stop that sickness. He may not do what you ask Him to do, but I promise you this. In the midst of that storm, He'll provide the answer that you need. The Apostle Paul, what did he have? A thorn in the flesh? You ever read 2 Corinthians 12? My friend, he gives a resume that will make most of us quit. But then he said, Lord, three times, Lord, will you take this thorn in the flesh from me? Lord, I'll be a better preacher. Lord, I'll be a better missionary. Lord, I'll be a better author of the Word of God. Lord, if you'll just take this thorn from me. How many times did he ask him? Three times. What did God say? The Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. He told Paul, whatever you're facing, you're going to be okay because I'm going to be there with you. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. But I really believe that whenever we began to sing the hymn of invitation, I believe all over this building tonight, I believe there's mothers here that are heartbroken. I believe there's dads that are frustrated. I believe there's grandparents that are worried. I believe tonight that in this building, because we're all human, that some of us are in the midst of that storm. But I have to ask you the question. If you had one prayer, are you willing to come pray about it? Or are you willing to come tonight and place that person on the altar? Are you willing to come tonight and say, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to remember you gave me your promises, and I know you're going to provide, and you're going to do it the way you want, Lord, and all I'm going to do is stand back in awe. But are you just going to keep focused on the things that you're going through? Because I'm not asking you tonight to come pray for the person beside you. I'm not asking you tonight to come pray for the person in front of you. But I'm asking tonight, will you come and pray for yourself? Lord, I ask you tonight to move during this time of invitation. Lord, however you see fit, I pray, God, that they would come and seek your face. In the great name of Jesus.